Mini episode 437 of the FDH Lounge is brought to you by Sportsology, delivering unconventional columns and webcasts about sports, TV, music, movies, and more. Follow them on the web at sportsology.info.
The FDH Lounge. You want to schedule your life around it.
A long time ago, on a gloomy, wet Cleveland spring night, two men stand alone amidst the late night drizzle. Their voices echo across the vacant station parking lot as they debate the merits of the great American radio show that have been missing for far too long. On that night, an idea was born. That idea became the FDH Lounge. Welcome to the FDH Lounge.
I want to welcome everyone to the FDH Lounge. This is FDH Lounge managing partner Rick Morris. This is mini episode number 437. And here today on the show, where nothing is off topic, we are delving into minor league baseball and doing so with John Danos, partner, president, and chief operating officer for the very interesting group, Opening Day Partners. They have been very entrepreneurially involved in minor league baseball, putting a footprint in many different places. And with the expansion in the last couple of years to Texas, he is now heading that up. And the Sugarland Skeeters just hosted the Atlantic League All-Star Game this past week, and they are the tip of the spear, as it were, both for Opening Day Partners and for the Atlantic League as far as a proposed Western expansion and a Western division that will be forthcoming with the Atlantic League. We look forward to discussing all that and much, much more with this very interesting executive that we are pleased to have on the show. We welcome to the program John Danos. John, welcome to the program today, sir. How are you today?
Very well. Thanks for having me.
Very pleased to get to talk about all this with you. It's a very interesting story. Again, this All-Star game that happened the past week, very unusual in the sense that it was the first one outside of the Atlantic League's traditional boundaries, so really kind of looking ahead to the future when it won't be so unusual for it to be out there when other teams are joining you out west. Talk about the experience of that, the experience of Tracy McGrady getting a pitch in that game and all the other fanfare that went with this past week.
Well, you're right. We had just concluded a fantastic 3 days of All-Star festivities, and as you point out, it was first time the Atlantic League hosted the game out here in the West. When we came to Sugar Land in 2012 and opened this ballpark here, we had high aspirations that the league would award the game to the team in pretty short order to help us celebrate what we were doing nationally with our national footprint and our ambitions for bringing the Atlantic League to additional communities. And so they awarded it to us, and we just completed a great few days of festivities and showcasing the talent in the league and giving the community a great opportunity to see some of the finest professional baseball players.
Absolutely. And now let's talk about that a little bit. The Atlantic League, for some of our listeners who may not be as familiar with it, I understand that it is pretty much considered the top independent minor league out there. And certainly the Sugarland franchise has already made a mark in the 2.5 years that it's been around, with Roger Clemens having been on the roster in the past, Scott Kazmir, in addition to, as we said, Tracy McGrady. So please talk about that a little bit, the nature of Atlantic League baseball and the specific fan experiences that it delivers to the public.
Well, the league has a very definitive purpose. We gathered many years ago as experienced operators. Several of the existing owners of Atlantic League teams have owned minor league baseball teams for decades, including teams in the National Association affiliated with major league clubs. So we're experienced operators, but we had a vision to create a league that was equivalent to AAA baseball or better. We felt that there was a real niche in professional baseball to serve the game with this level of talent, where guys who are very capable and very experienced and don't need development slip through the cracks, because there's only so many guys that major league teams can have on their roster. So we serve professional baseball in that way. We're often referred to ourselves and often referred to as the 4A league, somewhere between the big leagues and AAA, most of the players that have that currently play and have played in the Atlantic League have had AAA and big league experience. At least 40% of the players in the league have played in the big leagues. So, you know, we're there for major league teams to quickly fill roster spots, fill holes in the highest levels of their organizations. You mentioned Scott Kazmir. Scott obviously was a very experienced professional player. You know, fell on some difficult times on the field and came to the Atlantic League to fine-tune his game and is now making about $12 million a year for the Oakland Athletics. So it served him well and many others like him. In fact, over the All-Star break, our executive director, Joe Klein, formerly general manager of the Cleveland Indians and Texas Rangers and whatnot, he reported to us that the Atlantic League sold more players this year through the first half, and I think the number is 42, back to major league organizations than it ever has in the history of the league. So we're on the radar. We have a nice working relationship with every major league team out there. Every major league team has purchased a player from our league. And most are assigned to AAA baseball. Some are assigned to AA, and some go to the big leagues. So we're serving our purpose there from a baseball perspective. From a fan perspective, you know, the league is you know, draws over 2 million fans a year. Incredible facilities, newer facilities, wonderful communities, many of which sit next to large cities like Philadelphia, Houston, New York City, et cetera. So great footprint, great quality league, and hopefully there'll be more to come.
Well, in terms of the talent involved in the league, and again, the picture that you're painting there is a very optimal one if you're at the all-time point that you've ever been at as far as sending talent to Major League Baseball and its affiliate clubs. That would raise the question, I think, to a lot of people out there with the inherent disadvantage that you have competing for talent with minor league teams that are part of organized Major League Baseball, that are part of the organized minor league system. What are some of the principles that are put out there as far as attracting talent, as far as trying to convince them why the independent league is a good entity to sign with as opposed to teams that have a guaranteed pipeline to Major League Baseball? Because it seems to me to be just really, really admirable that you guys are able to attract the kind of talent base without the guarantee of the pipeline that you have there.
Well, it's first of all, it really may be counterintuitive, but it's not a challenge at all finding players of this caliber. First of all, we talk to major league organizations and agents and players representing players around the globe, literally. And you know, there's a lot of ball players out there. And a lot of ball players who have served their major league organizations ever after having been drafted, where they become free agents, and many players choose to come to this league instead of signing with one major league team. Rather, they'd sign with a team in the Atlantic League, put up the numbers in a highly competitive league, which allows them to negotiate with any one of the 30 major league clubs out there, as opposed to being the property of one team. So it's an appeal for some players on that level, but also because of the quality of the facilities, the quality of play, you know, right down to the baseballs that we use, which are exactly like the baseballs used in the major league level. So we're simulating the major league game as best we can, and we are the longest independent league. It's the longest season of any independent league out there at 140 games. And as a result, you know, we have plenty of talent and plenty of players to choose from. What's interesting to me, in fact, just a short while ago, I had the opportunity to meet Cole Garner, who plays for the Lancaster Barnstormers now, and he was here for the All-Star festivities. He's leading the league in home runs, and he was telling me personally how blown away he is by the quality of play in this league and the quality of baseball people that manage our teams and coach our teams, from Butch Hobson to Gary Gaetti, to Brett Jody, to many guys who have decades and decades of experience in the game at the highest level. And Cole was stating what many, many players say to me when they come to the league for the first time. They say, man, I had no idea this league is so good and such high quality. And players don't often see themselves playing in independent baseball. There are other leagues, independent leagues out there that don't feature such high quality talent, but this one does. And year after year, we have more and more players coming to us just through word of mouth. And therefore we have a lot of talent to choose from.
Well, it really speaks to the confidence and the entrepreneurial spirit, if you will, of the players involved, that they would bypass the guarantee of being part of organized minor league baseball to go do this, and the confidence that they have to have in their skills. And it must be really great to see that confidence get justified and see them get to move on. That must be especially rewarding because of the players taking that leap of faith and then being validated in it.
Well, I think so, and I think you're absolutely right. And players, as I say, the word of mouth is getting around. There are hundreds and hundreds, I believe up to 600 players now who have signed back with major league organizations since the inception of the league. So, the proof is there, and you like to rely on the truth, and the truth is that guys are using the Atlantic League as a tool to get back to the big leagues.
Well, we referred to this previously as far as being almost sort of a pilot project for a Western division in the league that will be forthcoming. But it so happens, actually, John, that I'm in one of the few media markets in the country, Greater Cleveland, that can probably relate to what your team is having to go through, because our Lake Erie Captains, for many years, part of the South Atlantic League, and completely isolated geographically from the rest of the league, so a lot of challenges logistically. Speak to that, please, as far as what it is right now, being the only team out west, everything extra that goes into it from you guys in terms of pulling together a workable schedule, keeping the players from being too brutally exhausted, et cetera.
Well, obviously, it's not ideal having seven teams in the east and one team here in the west, but you have to start somewhere. And it does create some challenges, in terms of the schedule and travel and whatnot. But you have to start somewhere. And we all, I have to credit the vision of the board of directors of this league, who said, we can tolerate this, we can get through these challenges, and we can do so with Sugarland as an anchor. I mean, this is such an incredible success out here. It's such a beautiful stadium, a great community. Hundreds and hundreds of thousands of fans come out every year. So this is the first olive out of the jar, as they say, and it was a great sort of anchor for creating more teams. We'll get through some of the travel challenges and whatnot. I will point out that unlike the South Atlantic League, we're not busing from Somerset, New Jersey to Houston, Texas. So we do use mm-hmm. Southwest Airlines, and so we are flying. So that makes it a lot easier.
Oh, excellent. And again, when you were talking about all the advantages there, proximity to what is really a big and booming market there in the greater Houston area. So that has to be a great thing as well, to be able to draw upon that. And the heritage of Houston professional baseball, dating back even further than the 60s, really, but ever since the 60s, as people remember it, with the Astros. So to be able to have a population base like that right around there has to make things a little bit easier as well.
Well, it does. It does. And again, it's more justification for taking that step and crossing that threshold and getting into this. And of course, we've been having a lot of dialogue with other communities in Texas, and a matter of time before we get more teams here out here in the West and in Texas specifically.
Are there any even rough schematics at this point as far as additional markets, timetables, as far as the transformation of this league, when this will continue to unfold, or is that basically still in the talking stages?
Well, it's, I'd characterize it as certainly more than casual conversations with some communities mm-hmm. here in Texas, but without getting into too much detail prematurely, you know, I would expect, you know, another team or two within the next 3 years. You know, we're working hard and working hard with communities who are interested in quality of life assets and you know, people who have taken notice here in Sugar Land and who have been our guests here at the All-Star Game and its festivities, and frankly are blown away by the stadium its amenities and its energy and the community support is something to behold. And a lot of communities are looking to sort of replicate that model. So it speaks for itself. It's going to serve us well in building more teams, which our ultimate goal is to create a Western Division with at least four teams, perhaps six. You know, it'll take a few years to get us there, but we're on a good trajectory as it is now.
Absolutely. Yeah, nothing like that happens overnight, to be sure. And again, I've heard wonderful things about that park as well, and what a great fan experience it is. And I know people tend to associate a lot of times in their minds, maybe even more intensely with independent professional leagues, the in-game fan experience, special promotions, etc. So when the fans go out to the park there in Sugar Land, what are some of those extra types of things that they're getting sometimes in addition to a game?
It's a good one.
Yes.
You know, first of all, the stadium was designed with really special amenities. You know, beyond, of course, our slate of promotions, many of which many minor league teams use, from fireworks shows to, you know, on-field entertainment. We've supplemented all of that with unbelievable amenities. We have the largest play area in all of minor league baseball here, which is anchored by a carousel, a splash pad. We have climbing games for kids of all ages, from toddlers on up to, 10, 11, 12-year-olds. We have, as I mentioned, the splash pad works very well here in the Texas heat, and it's really great to see kids so highly engaged in the amenities. Obviously, they're watching the game, but, you know, let's face it, their attention, you can only grab their attention for so long, here they just jump over to this play area and have a terrific time. In addition to a destination for kids, we have an adult destination, an authentic Texas ice house. We have wonderful selections of food, and this is in right center field, overlooking the field, with rocking chairs and cool beverages on ice and wait service, and it's become a great destination. We have bands out there frequently, both before and after games, and you know, we have a beautiful major league club called the Insperity Club, which holds about 250 people, which is just a beautiful location overlooking the field, serving the highest quality food with a great bar centrally located overlooking the field. Our season ticket holders have the privilege, and our Skybox holders also have the privilege of taking part in that. And so it's these amenities that really draw people in and allow you to sort of target more people than simply just the hardcore baseball fan.
Absolutely. It's very, very important to draw from a wider base than that. And clearly, again, the kind of quality that I know everyone has come to expect from Opening Day Partners franchises and the Sugar Land Skeeters in particular. John Danos, it's been a great pleasure today talking to you about your team, your league, everything you had going on this week with the All-Star Game. It would be a pleasure to have you back on the show, sir, and keep up with what you've got going on there. Thank you so much for your time.
Appreciate your interest. Thank you very much. Have a great weekend.
Thank you. You too, John. And thank you, everyone, for tuning in today to the FDH Lounge.
As we bring the show to a close, we would like to extend our deepest gratitude to NBC, CBS, ABC, Fox, all Clear Channel affiliates, TNT, TBS, USA, UPN, Deadspin.com, YouTube.com, YTMND.com, MySpace.com, various blogs, Fox News, CNN, CNBC, MSNBC, IamBored.com, Billboard.com, Google.com, ESPN, ESPN2, ESPN News, ESPN Classic, NBA TV, NFL Network, Sports Time Ohio,
Now, Athlon Magazine, Comedy Central, Cartoon Network, The Boomerang Channel, QVC, BET, The Spice Channel, Steno Notebooks, Manwich, Paper Mate Office Supplies, Waitresses, Strippers, Bartenders, Garbage Men, Janitors, Microwave Popcorn, The Writers of The Office, Scrubs, Entourage, My Name is Earl, Oz, Metalocalypse and the Boondocks, Awkwafina, and The Periodic Table of Elements.